Okay, let's move on to the regular calendar, and we can queue up the first item, and then I'm going to turn the council meeting over to Commissioner Saltzman, our presiding officer, because I have to go welcome the vice president to Portland, because he's here. So we'll get this item read, and I have a couple of comments, and then unfortunately I'll have to race off and try to get back to 2 o'clock. So could you read the next item, please?
Item 1053, authorize a contract with Nelson Capital Construction Program Management, LLC, in the amount of $125,165 for construction project management and cost estimation services at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum as solicited through RFP number 117059.
So Susan Hartnett is here with a presentation. Just let me sort of reset the context. We pulled this item from last week's calendar to work around another national visit. Seems to be the season. Susan Gibson Hartnett is here to walk us through the contract. We are here because the Veterans Memorial Coliseum has significant deferred maintenance. It has a modest annual operating loss, and even though it's a great building and a great location, it is not active enough days of the year to pay its bills. So I'm not excited about any scenario that just gets by, but I'm interested in looking at the whole spectrum of possibilities and possible partnerships that will give this council some good choices, or at least one good choice, about this building. So this contract is a piece of that effort. I think it's responsible for us to have reliable cost estimates about what those different scenarios would cost. And if there are other creative ideas that come into this discussion today or any time, I just want everyone to know that I am not dug in on any particular outcome or any particular scenario other than, again, I'm not interested. I'm personally unwilling to spend money on just getting by and passing this problem on in probably a worse condition to our successors. So that's why we're here. That's why this contract is before us. And Susan, I'll turn it over to you and unfortunately have to leave. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Harrells. Good morning, Commissioners. Susan Hartnett, I'm the City Spectator Facilities and Development Manager in the Office of Management and Finance. I am going to do just a real short PowerPoint presentation to give you an overview of what is actually a two-part contract with Nelson Capital CPM, and it does include work that contributes to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum Options Study that the mayor was alluding to. The contract exceeds $100,000, which means it requires council authorization. The first part of the scope in this contract covers ongoing and planned construction project management for work at the city's Rose Quarter facilities. And I'm including a few examples just so you have an idea of the range of activities going on over there. One piece is implementation of the first phase of ADA transition plan work in the garages. There were more than 100 items of ADA noncompliance found in the city garages and surface parking lot. And this first phase that we're working on right now will address those items that relate to parking stalls, their sizes and slopes. There will be a second phase that will address stairways and other walkways within those buildings. A little piece of information that may not be aware for everyone is that the ground lease that we have with Portland Arena Management for the Moda Center and other portions of property over there put the responsibility for major maintenance in the plaza on the city at this point in that contract. And the raised planter boxes, those are the ones that have all of the trees in them, are 20 years old, and the waterproof lining in those boxes has failed, and we are beginning to see evidence of water in the building spaces below. So those boxes need to have their waterproof lining systems replaced. And then the last example is there is an ongoing list of things that need to be addressed on a pretty regular basis at the VMC itself. One of the things that we're working on this year is repairing some of the delaminating plywood in the fascia, which is that large white band at the top of the building. And that's just one of several projects that we're working on at the VMC. So the second part of the contract is for construction cost estimating that will be part of the BMC options study. It's approximately $65,000 of the $125,000 contract that will go for the construction cost estimating and Nelson Capital's participation in that project overall. So I'm going to give you a little bit of information on the study because it's obviously of interest to you and to the community. So what we're trying to do with this study is to provide information, pretty full and robust information, to the council on four options. I think it's the first time that we've actually tried to look at this these four options at one time and provide the same level of information for council to fully understand what the implications of all of them are on a number of different levels. At the top of the list is looking at renovation or remodeling scenarios. We're looking at five of them, and we are going to be using a lot of the work that was developed during 2010 through 2012 and remain consistent with the direction that the council gave at that time, which would be to build on the facility's primary functions as a spectator, assembly, exhibit, and meeting facility. So we're really not looking for sort of outside-the-box ideas that have been explored in the past. We'll also look at options to continue the current operations. I did hear the mayor say that continuing to cobble along may not be one of the options he wants to know about, but it is kind of what we've been doing for a number of years, so at least understanding the implications of that makes sense. We are including the option of closing the facility, either as a temporary measure or potentially on a permanent basis. I will mention that we have events committed in that facility into 2016 and potentially into 2017 and 18. So a decision to close the building really could not be implemented for several years.
That includes things like high school graduations and sporting events and other things?
Correct. Yeah. Well, those events generally are booked about a year in advance. The 2016 event that we're committed to is the synchronized skating regional championships. Into 2017 and 2018 is potentially the Phil Knight 80th birthday events, which would bring, I think at this point they're talking about 16 to 20 NCAA teams to town to help celebrate. Yeah. And then you probably all are aware that the Trailblazers have made a NBA All-Star bid for 2017 and 18 with an emphasis on 2018. Both of those events would rely on the BMC for providing room for events and activities. The study is also going to look at what types of redevelopment opportunities could be opened up and realized if the building were demolished.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
I'm sorry?
I did not know that part. So why are we doing that? Because it's...
The demolition portion of it?
I support looking at how much would it cost to demolish it. Mm-hmm. But it's in looking at redevelopment?
Well, I think in order to talk about... the outcome of demolition, it would be premised on the notion that it provides a redevelopment opportunity.
But we wouldn't. Does this study scope out what those would be?
No.
So it's just looking at how much does it cost to demolish it?
Correct.
Okay.
And the potential upside of that opportunity is not going to be scoped in this. Just looking at if that were a direction the council wanted to go, what are the challenges we face? Obviously, the fact that the building is listed on the National Register is a significant component of that. I think there are also issues related to just the sheer tons of concrete in that building and trying to figure out how we would reasonably demolish it and what the cost of that would be is something we've never looked at. We should look at seriously, not from the standpoint that I think it's the direction I'm hearing from council, but because... looking at all of these options and understanding the implications of all of them will help you make a decision for what is the right direction. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. And I was going to say PDC is going to be participating in that component of the study in terms of what kinds of redevelopment opportunities might be opened up with that type of site in the area.
That's the piece that I don't think needs to happen. I'm very supportive of finding out how much it costs to demolish it, but in terms of looking at what else could we use it for, that's not a direction that I'm interested in going.
And I think it's more along the lines of, in the hypothetical, if you had a 4-acre site, what types of development might occur that would be supportive of the Rose Quarter, not what specific set of uses would you put into a specific set of buildings. I think it's on a much more generalized, we're not funded at a level of specifics.
That goes into the 96 options for what else we could do with the site or with the Coliseum that three of us decided we didn't want to go in that direction. So I'm not sure what the value of having a consultant spending time or even PDC spending time, what else could we do with that site? We need to know how much it would cost to demolish, and that's the information the council needs to decide. Do we want to demolish, enhance, or keep it going?
Commissioner, I mean, are you saying that you're willing to contemplate demolishing the facility but not doing anything with the property afterwards?
I think once we look at the cost of demolishing it, it's going to be very clear that that is more expensive than fixing it up. Certainly knowing some of the potential costs of demolishing Centennial Mills, for example. And when we look at the challenges of demolishing a structure that's on the National Historic Register and which is a memorial to our veterans, I think that that's the cost that I want to know about, not what other jolly things could we do in its place.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, I personally, speaking purely myself, I would like to have an idea of what we could put in this place and how much money we could make off it, but it sounds like we're not, I mean, this contract isn't going to be authorizing doing that in any detail.
For clarification, the only funding in these contracts related to the demolition is the cost to demolish. It will be primarily staff effort that looks at what are the other challenges we would face, and in very general terms, what are the opportunities, the redevelopment opportunities that would be presented by having that building no longer there.
And presumably that would be informed by the 1 to 2 year process and the 95 suggestions and everything else that we already plowed through.
So my understanding of that is that one of the basic premises in that study was that the VMC did not go away, that its uses could change, but very clearly the building, Mayor Adams was quoted at the first stakeholder advisory committee in saying the one thing you have to retain is the skin of this building.
And yes, that was because we had previously had a long, long discussion about demolishing it for a baseball stadium.
Yes, and that was a single idea as opposed to a more generalized, what could we do with a 4-acre site in the Rose Quarter, and in what ways would it contribute to enlivening that district and perhaps supporting further development in the Lloyd District.
Susan, one of the things we're trying to insulate you from in this process is another pie-in-the-sky exercise that gets us to a dead end. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've been on the council long enough that every single idea has been thrown our way, and most of them never got to first base. I remember Jumptown, and I suspect someone is going to say Jumptown will be a nice idea, and they'll throw it. There's people downtown that still think we should have a football franchise. God bless them. I don't think it's likely to happen, but they'll have a plan for a football stadium. There are people in this city, including in my office, who've never forgiven us for, you know, what happened to minor league baseball. So we're going to have someone say we can put a major league baseball stadium there. We could spend a lot of time going to these dead-end options and spending consultant time. And I want to share Amanda's concerns. I don't want to put that burden on staff because other than knowing generally that we could put a housing or office, and PDC is very knowledgeable about that. They don't need to have a consultant to give them a range of those options. I'd hate for this to be another back door for people to come with pie-in-the-sky ideas to be presented to a council that has historically said, we're not going to demolish this building. And so I think we're also trying to protect staff from having to go through a needless exercise.
Yeah, and I appreciate what you're saying. I appreciate what Commissioner Fritz is saying. And I think the scope of what we're doing does not move into those areas at all. We're not going to be asking that question broadly. We're going to be asking it in a very narrow way. And again, we're not intending and expecting to bring forward any specific ideas about what might happen if the site were to be available for redevelopment.
So, Susan, you're saying the contract is for studying the cost of demolition.
Correct, and only the cost of demolition.
So that's what we'd be authorizing today.
That's correct. Yeah, that is correct. And none of the other contracts, which I'm going to talk about in just a second, do anything to further that notion of redevelopment on the site. It's simply to give a little slice of that option when we come back and talk with you.
Susan, I just want to acknowledge that when the Mayor Hales came to council this morning, he turned to me and said, I've looked over the agenda. It's a nothing agenda. This is going to be a very short morning. And I said, please. I started banging the table. I used every tool in my toolkit to dispel that bad karma. We're going to be here a long day. Thank you for your patience. And we're going to have a lot of questions, but we really appreciate you hanging in there.
I understand. And I mean, this topic has been around for a long time. I understand that. So let me give you a little bit more information about what we're going to be looking at in these scenarios. I think I need to move here. Yeah. So there are four contracts for consultant services. Bora Architects, who are going to be doing architectural services, are primarily going to be repackaging the schematic design that was completed in 2012. Into what I consider three additive scenarios under this renovate remodel option. We would start with the basic repairs and replacements, things like our mechanical systems and necessary fire life safety compliance, just that as a package. If we were just going to make the building essentially habitable, what would that look like? What would that cost? To that, we would add an additional scenario that addresses some of the needed and desired improvements to both the user and tenant experience, things like new seats, a new scoreboard with decent video replay, new improvements to locker rooms and offices, things like that. The third package would add enhancements that could actually draw new events to the facility or perhaps improve its financial performance. Things like improved and expanded concession areas, additional stage rigging capacity that would allow more concerts to come into the facility, things like a curtain system that might allow alternative configurations and sizing of the arena bowl and, again, make it more flexible for a variety of events. Bora will be doing a little bit of new design work to flesh out that third scenario, but primarily they will be working with what's already been completed. Two additional scenarios will be kept in the mix. They are ones that keep the primary function of the building intact, but offer more significant changes that may be of interest. One would be to utilize a movable floor system and remove a portion of the bowl to accommodate an indoor track and field events. This is a topic that's been discussed previously on a couple of occasions, and seems like it meets the goals of retaining the primary functions within the building, but opens up some new event areas that might be of interest. The other would be a little bit more extreme. It's an idea that came out of a 2002 study, which would involve removing the glass curtain wall, but retaining the roof and creating an open-air arena. This idea, when it was looked at initially in 2002, actually looked quite promising from a financial standpoint, and we thought it made sense since it was still consistent with the keep it as a spectator facility, keep it usable for community needs. It was at least worth looking at from the financial standpoint. Convention Sports and Leisure International is going to be doing a market analysis of these five renovation scenarios and also looking at, are there market sectors that could actually contribute further to the building's ability to financially perform reasonably well? Tied to the market analysis, CSL will also be developing a business case or pro forma analysis for each of these scenarios. Nelson Capital CPM, their contract is what will contribute the construction cost estimating for the scenarios and for the demolition option. I will say that Nelson Capital has quite extensive experience in renovating older spectator facilities, and I think it's going to be really helpful for their lens in looking at the renovation cost estimates so that we know that what we're bringing to you at the end of the day are reliable estimates, something that you can know that we can actually accomplish that within the dollar amount that we're talking about. Construct is a local company that's going to be performing a full energy assessment on the building. I was actually surprised to find that we've never actually done a full energy assessment on the building. We've looked at various improvements to systems, but we have not actually asked, where are we losing energy? What are the ways that we could conserve energy? Where do we get the most bang for our buck if we make replacements and changes to the energy systems in the building? So they'll be contributing that to help inform both the renovation scenarios and the financial analysis that goes along with that. At the conclusion of the study, we plan to be able to provide to you in-depth information about those four options. We'll have a market analysis and the energy assessment that are contributing to help guide some of the specific elements that we'll include in each of the additive scenarios. We'll have up-to-date construction cost estimates for the five remodel-renovate scenarios, as well as the demolition option. We will have analysis of the challenges associated with demolition options, specifically the historic register issues that that raises. And the report will also include, for each of the four options, an analysis of the impacts to the broader community interests, such as our annual use by the Rose Festival Grand Floral Parade and high school graduations, as well as the financial implications to the Spectator Facility Fund, because I know that's of concern always for the council. The current schedule calls for us to bring a report back to council for a work session in late March. I will tell you that that schedule could shift a little bit. We have a kickoff meeting with all of the consultants next week, and as we are able to talk in detail with the team about the coordination of these various work products and making sure that each one of the consultants is able to provide the other the information they need in order to complete their work, it may push the schedule out a little bit, but that's what we're shooting for right now is late March. And as I mentioned earlier, we really do not anticipate bringing forward a specific proposal or detailed funding options, but trying to lay out the foundation for council to look at four options and give direction on which way you'd like to see this decision-making move next. I would also mention that the ordinance includes an emergency clause so that the work under this contract can stay apace with the other contracts which are actually in place at this point. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Can you tell me the percentage of minority women in emerging small business involved in this contract?
Off the top of my head, I cannot. I'd have to go back and look at that. We did utilize the city's RFP process, and so that was a specific evaluation in selecting the various consultants. I can email you that if you'd like.
Was Christine Moody involved in this?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And she always looks
she
after
and her
that.
Staff, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
She in particular yeah. looks out for that. But, so, yes, I would like to know
sure.
that answer.
Any other questions?
Susan, I have a few, and I apologize. It's a long day, and my colleagues I probably would like to break for lunch soon, but this is a really important issue. So I have just a number of questions I want to put on the record. The first is, why didn't we do something as comprehensive as this 5 years ago?
I don't think I can give an answer to that question. I wasn't around at that point. I think at that point, the interest was in seeing if we couldn't find a specific solution and generate the energy and commitment to that, which was really culminated in that 2012 proposal. I think it's, on some levels, even perhaps more difficult to look at a range of options without having a specific idea for how you get to the solution. And that may be part of the reason why we haven't done this type of sort of full range of options in the past.
Commissioner Fish, I had a conversation with former Mayor Adams, and I think that a lot of that work was done and will inform. And I heard Susan say earlier that that work will inform this. So it's not like we're starting from zero. There has been a lot of analysis done.
We've been through this. We've been working this issue for a long time, and the idea of having good, reliable data to drive decision, I think, is very important. And, you know, we've it's often been debated, in my opinion, along sort of caricatures. Demolish it because it, I think it's an ugly building. Preserve it because it's a masterpiece. I mean, puts us in the realm of aesthetics. We ought to have a broader discussion about, you know, what's the long-term viability of the project? Mm-hmm. How can we maximize public use? Consider a range of options, because ultimately I think the council has signaled time and time again they want to preserve this building. Mm-hmm. And so I applaud you for doing it now. I almost wish we had had this exercise a while ago. Mm-hmm. Number two, if you add up the cost of all the contracts, including the contracts for which you do not need our approval, what's the total investment we're making in this project? Because I think you identified almost either four or five separate contracts. So what's the total price tag for this worthy exercise?
$307,687.
I'm sorry?
$307,687.
And who is paying for that?
That's coming out of the Spectator Facilities Fund.
Okay. Is PDC contributing any portion of the money they've set aside for the BMC?
No. Although I would certainly note that PDC has contributed very significantly during the 2009 to 2012 time period when the Stakeholder Advisory Committee was meeting, and the 2012 renovation project was significantly funded by PDC, including the schematic design.
There's been a renewed public conversation about the possibility of landing an NHL franchise. It's about a $300 million price tag. It's compatible with the existing facility mm-hmm. at the Moda Center. There's been a little bit of a buzz about it. I have no inside information other than what I'm reading. Is there a risk here that we're going to do this analysis and there'll be a fundamental change in the status of the Winterhawks that could impact our thinking?
That is always a possibility. I mean, I think anytime you're talking about sports and major league sports, the possibility for teams to move around, to come into your city, to leave your city, are there. And they are, I think, oftentimes forces outside of a city's control. I do think that were we to land an NHL hockey team, it would be an important question about whether or not the city can support both a national hockey league team as well as Western Hockey League team. The Portland Winterhawks have been in one form or another a team in Portland for a long, long time. I think 1925 is when they were first founded here, and they have a very rich and deep commitment within the city, so I don't know that it would spell their demise, but I don't know whether or not the community can actually support two hockey teams.
And Susan, my final question is, from what I've read, there's a differing opinions about what led to the demise of the last proposal we cobbled together. I've read that it died on the shelf. I've read that the Winterhawks got buyer's remorse. I've read lots of different scenarios. From your point of view, why did that plan that we put a lot of time and energy into ultimately fail?
I think that solution was trying to answer too many questions at one time. We were trying to address both the renovation needs of the facility as well as a 20-year operating horizon. That's a pretty complicated set of questions, and you will recall we had a pretty complicated set of agreements in front of you. I think there were 9 documents that the council was being asked to consider. All of our partners were also being asked to make that same level of commitment. And I don't know if it was just complexity or if some of the events of the moment, such as the sanctions that the Winterhawks found themselves faced with at almost exactly the same time we were coming to council, were as much of a contributor. I really don't know how those things weighed for each one of the partners. But I think that it was perhaps a bit top-heavy, and that's been part of the reason why we've been trying to take apart some of the pieces and look at them individually. You'll recall in May of 2013, we did bring back to the council an extension of the operating agreement with Portland Arena Management, so we at least know that the day-to-day operations of the facility will continue into the future under a certain set of conditions. I think that frees us up to talk more about what can the facility's function be within the community and what kinds of services can we look to utilize it for.
Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm.
Further questions? Okay.
I'm sorry, just a couple of things, because I found you also gave me some information in my office about the Spectator Fund, and one of the things to note is that when our teams get into the playoffs, that's when we make money on these facilities and otherwise sometimes not. So that's another reason to enjoy sports and cheer on our teams. Secondly, just talk about the current annual maintenance needs of what we're putting into the facility now.
Mm-hmm.
And what we absolutely have to put into it over the next year or two.
Well, a couple of things that come immediately to mind, right? One of the things we're dealing with right now is a beam in the exhibit hall that needs to be repaired. I mean, we're starting to talk about some fairly major structural things. The fascia that I mentioned earlier is delaminating right now. All we're trying to do is patch it. But at some point, it will need replacement. It is plywood, and in our environment, it will only last for so long. The roof of the main building will need to be replaced. We are replacing this year the roof over the warehouse and carpenter section, as well as dealing with mold abatement, because frankly, we let that roof go for too long. Every year, we deal with things like water pipes that break. We had the Memorial Fountain up and running again last month, and it's now not working again. So it's a constant chasing of things that need attention.
And my recollection of looking at that spreadsheet was that we're spending about $750,000 per year in maintenance now, maybe anticipate up to $1 million a year. So there's also a cost with not making this decision.
That's correct.
Good point.
Yes, and we will be highlighting that in the report back to you.
Thank you. Do we have people signed up to testify?
Yes, we have four people signed up. The first three, please come up, are Brian Libby, Jeff Curtis, and Marilyn Clint. Okay, thank you. And we'll go ahead and go with Ron Carr.
Okay, welcome.
Brian, you can slide the whole thing down. The whole thing slides down if you want.
Okay.
Welcome. Just give us your name, and you have 3 minutes, and there's a clock in front of you.
Thanks very much, Commissioner. My name is Brian Libby, and I'm a journalist focusing on architecture and design for publications like the New York Times and Architect Magazine. However, I'm here on behalf of the Friends of Memorial Coliseum as the co-chair. We would like to say that we applaud City Council for commissioning a detailed study of the Coliseum's physical condition and its finances. As Commissioner Fish noted, these are the kinds of hard numbers that we should have had all along. We do know that the Coliseum hosts well over 100 events a year, so it's already a community asset despite its deferred maintenance. But we believe that even if the study confirms or shows the building operating at a modest loss, a restoration will push it into profitability. And today, examples abound of such renovation stories, many of which I concentrate on in my own journalistic writing, such as Key Arena in Seattle, Long Beach Arena in Southern California, and even Lincoln Center in New York. We respectfully urge Council to keep in mind, though, that which can't be quantified on a balance sheet but is, in our minds, equally important, which is the Coliseum's cultural and civic value. It is Oregon's most important veterans memorial, as the late Governor Victor Atiyah has testified here at City Council with us in the past. It's a centerpiece of Rose Festival and the Grand Floral Parade. And then, of course, there is the uniqueness of the design itself, which we believe has untapped economic value. Veterans Memorial Coliseum is equivalent in size to four city blocks, but remarkably stands on just four columns. It's virtually the only arena in the world with a 360-degree view to the outside through the glass. So when the building's curtain is open, you can look out at the Willamette River and the entire downtown Portland skyline from your seat in Memorial Coliseum, and I've never been in an arena that does that or even comes close. So we believe, obviously, it's a breathtaking example of mid-20th century modern architecture, American architecture at its best, which is wide open and full of natural light. As you know, Portland has long aspired to be a sustainable capital and a design capital, but tearing down Veterans Memorial Coliseum would fly in the face of those ambitions. Great cities, quite simply, don't tear down their most acclaimed National Register-listed buildings. That's why Memorial Coliseum, in our mind, isn't just a building project to study, but a referendum on what kind of city we want to be. For that reason, we respectfully urge Council to continue with the study, but ultimately restore the building with the knowledge that it can be a catalyst for a broader neighborhood redevelopment. This is a chance to leverage millions in private sector contributions while drawing from already allocated city urban renewal funds, yet without taking away dollars from other important funding initiatives like affordable housing, health and safety, or education. This is why organizations ranging from the Portland Business Alliance and the Oregon Sports Authority to Restore Oregon and the National Trust for Historic Preservation have all already joined our coalition of citizens calling for restoration. And it's why an overwhelming majority of those polled in the Oregonian this week opposed demolition. Thank you.
Thank you. Marilyn.
Good morning. I'm Marilyn Clint. For the past 27 years, I've been the event manager for the Grand Floral Parade. Back in 1961, Rose Festival was one of the stakeholders celebrating the opening of Portland's new Memorial Coliseum. That year, six Rose Festival events were held inside the Coliseum, including the Queen's Coronation, a Queen's Ball, and our most iconic event, the Grand Floral Parade. The Oregonian that year called the Coliseum an extraordinarily fine vantage point from which to watch the parade, which formed outside the Coliseum and marched straight through, utilizing the large doors at either end, which were put there for that very purpose. Now, more than 50 years later, both the Queen's Coronation and the Grand Floral Parade still utilize Memorial Coliseum. It's the only major parade in the world that marches through an indoor arena. Since 1961, about a half million people have watched the parade from their seats inside, paying prices that range from $2.50 back in 1961 to $30 today. While that total is probably a little bit less than the people who stand outside and watch it for free every year, it is a significant amount to the Rose Festival, because the revenue from those seats is one of our most important revenue parts in Grand Floral Parade's budget. The arena also serves as a perfect spot to welcome travelers from across the country and around the world, many of them seniors, who appreciate the opportunity to sit in the comfort of rainproof reserve seats. The Coliseum parking lot has been the site of our parade telecast for decades. And the parking garages and adjacent streets serve as a perfect formation area for one of the top five parades in the world. Today, Veterans Memorial Coliseum is event central for the Rose Festival's beloved parade, and on Parade Day, which is the largest special events day in the Pacific Northwest, the Queen's Coronation, the Grand Floral Walk, and the Grand Floral Parade are all seen live inside the Coliseum by the arena spectators. Many of these spectators are people from other nonprofits in Oregon, and a large percentage watch free of charge. It is unfortunate that the experience of watching the parade is less enjoyable today because the building itself is so badly in need of restoration. The bathrooms, for instance, are far from state of the art, and the reader board just doesn't work anymore. So for an event like ours that relishes having the curtains open on parade day, there are limited options for adding an electronic element to the visual experience. Rose Festival staff and board have worked closely with different Coliseum managements and local advocates over the years on issues ranging from construction to renovation to recognition of our veterans, and we look forward to continuing that work in the future and to continue to showcase the City of Roses to the world from this historic site on Portland's east side. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir?
Hi, my name is Ronald Carr. I am a Navy veteran of the Vietnam War and a retired Coast Guard officer, and I'm bringing a veteran's perspective. Last time I had the privilege to speak here, I told the story of how when I came back from Vietnam, it wasn't until 15 years later that anyone said thank you for my service. My tears at that moment expressed how grateful I was for the acknowledgement that was given to me and others on that day. It is my belief that most servicemen and women don't want much except to serve their country and be recognized for that service. As military personnel, we don't get caught up in the politics of why we have to serve, where we are asked to serve, or where we're asked to fight, and sometimes where we're asked to die. We willingly serve the greatest country in the world for our families, for our friends, our communities, and pretty much for the American way of life. We understand the freedom that America provides its citizens as well as others that come to this country. We stand up for the downtrodden and fight against evil in the world. It is naive to think this service can all be done from the safety and comfort of our homes, our own safe communities. We know and understand that's not realistic. So the country singer Toby Keith wrote a song called American Soldier, and in the chorus he sings, "I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost. I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't want to die for you, but if dying's asked of me, I'll bear that cross with honor, because freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier." And that sentiment represents all service members and branches. So sometimes we're asked to go places around the world, be put in harm's way over there, so you don't have to be in harm's way here. And so the many people who lay down at night to rest in this blessed country can do so with peace of mind. If you ask just about any military person, I believe they will tell you they do not consider themselves to be heroes. They're just doing their job and the best they can to keep this country safe. If I were to think of one thing that we would like, that would be to be remembered. That our service and sacrifices would not be forgotten, that everyone, including future generations, would understand and remember what it has taken through the years to enjoy the freedoms we take for granted every day. We just want to know that what we have done to serve had value, and that our time on this earth has meaning. It certainly does to those who are closest to us, but it should also be that way for everyone else that gets to live in this free country. To my point, one way to show appreciation to all those who have served and sacrificed through the years is by preserving those iconic structures and symbols that pay homage to the greatness of our country and to the warriors who have given so much. Our building is the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, situated in the heart of our beautiful community and erected over 50 years ago to honor our war veterans. I'll just address what it means to those it honors. Yes, much like our flag, the Veterans Memorial Coliseum has seen years of service, and yes, she is showing some wear and tear and in need of some attention. But even as you stand outside and look at her today, she is beautiful. She is an iconic monument to so many, representing the best of our community in so many ways, and she has a place in history right where she is. She needs work, but means so much to our veterans, their families, and all those who are grateful for what this structure stands for. Once she receives the attention she needs, she will continue to stand well into the future as a beacon of freedom to remind us all what should be most important in our lives, and that is that the spirit of freedom that exists in our people and the lengths they've gone to and the sacrifices they have made will continue to be honored and remembered. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay, Carla, please call the roll.
Novick?
I need to make a few preliminary remarks that are only tangentially related to the issue before us, one of which is that I do think it's important to remember that the Veterans Memorial Coliseum is an unfortunate part, a monument to the displacement of African Americans in Portland. And as Ed Washington reminded us last month, another is that in spite of that, I personally would be inclined to preserve the building if we and our citizens were made of money, but we're not. And speaking solely for myself, I do not think that preserving this building is as important as investing in maintenance of parks and investing in emergency preparedness and investing in housing and investing in transportation. So, although I am currently outnumbered, I would submit that unless we can figure out a way for this building to make money, then either it should be closed, or if there's a way to demolish it and ultimately recover the cost of demolition, demolished. Now, I know that I am currently outnumbered, but that brings me to another point. I have told Commissioner Fritz that I would very much like her to run for re-election, and she has stuck to her position. She's not running for re-election. So I'd like to take this opportunity to remind her that if she really wants to preserve Memorial Coliseum from her patients, vultures such as myself, her best option is to run for re-election. And finally, one more thing, which is I forgot to mention that if we did demolish the building, I think that we could build a memorial to veterans that more people would actually see, a standalone memorial at far less than the cost of continually investing in this building. I also want to thank Susan for all of her work on this, for the tour that she gave me a year ago of the Coliseum, and for countless hours spent puzzling through this complicated issue. Thank you very much. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Your predecessor in that chair would have made a very similar speech, I would selling some parts of it. We've had this battle over the last. It's interesting that we're going to continue to have this battle. I continue to believe in the value of the memorial, the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, which we changed the name to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. And I personally called TriMet to get them to change it on the MAX trains, which gives me delight when I take the MAX that way. I appreciate the diligent work that Susan Hartnett is putting into this and the background discussions that we've had in my office. I'm comfortable moving forward with this study because I think it's going to, I truly believe it's going to show that there are ways to make the Veterans Memorial Coliseum very much a viable and money-making thing, as well as being a place that Portlanders have treasured for more than 50 years. Aye.
Fish.
Susan, thank you for your excellent presentation and the thought and care that went into it. I did have some concerns about having a demolition option. You've allayed those concerns by defining that part of the exercise narrowly, and I think the record makes clear that we're not trying to open the door to a big discussion about demolition, but we want to have the data to compare among the various options. Long before I had the honor to be a Portlander, I had a passion for basketball, and one of the great rivalries in basketball, of course, was, you know, Phoenix and Portland. And every time an NBA game came up when I was a kid, they would pan do a panoramic shot of Portland, and they would end at Memorial Coliseum. And I was always struck by the building. It's a building that I think is beautiful and distinctive. And I remember the first time I had the chance to be inside the building and experience the uniqueness of this structure. And as has been explained, part of the uniqueness is the vistas, the interplay between air and light, and then just the fan experience. I've lived in cities that are still grieving over acts of civic vandalism that you can't get back. And I agree with Brian. I think this is in part a referendum on what kind of city we want to be and become. The Veterans Memorial Coliseum is an important part of our civic fabric. It is a cultural and civic icon. And we should do everything in our power to honor that building by preserving it, investing in it, and doing the Portland thing, which is finding a way to adapt its use to be viable for the future. And we've taken this issue up a lot of times, and I've yet to hear a persuasive argument for demolishing this building.
Commissioner, may I make a comment on one of your observations?
I think we're a little late, Steve. Let's take it up privately. Hmm. I vote aye.
Saltzman.
Aye. Okay, the ordinance is approved. I want to